We'll look into the first 8 verses tonight. And for lack of a better title, I've just simply entitled this section, How Paul Was Among Them. And remember that Paul in the first chapter had spoken of the testimony that these people had borne, that it was evident that they were the elect of God because of the work that God had done in their lives and how they had received the gospel, not just as the word of man, but literally as the very word of God. And Paul now will remind them of how that he and his group, his party, were when they came into Thessalonica. They did not come with desire to be known in any worldly sense, but they came among them with a desire to be a blessing and a help. Now, as I read this passage, I'm reminded of Dr. Harold Seitler, that deep southern brogue of his, I just want to be a blessing to you. And that was Paul's attitude and his idea. And we'll see some things here in these verses that I believe will be an encouragement to us, as we see how that Paul was a blessing to these folks and might take it to heart and want to be a blessing to somebody ourselves. Have the same attitude and the same mind. We'll read these first 8 verses and we'll deal with them. And of course, as we always do, we'll have time for our season of prayer. It said, For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And I think the thought that they were dear to Paul gives us the tone for everything that's said in these first 8 verses. Now, this does not conclude the subject, but it gives me the thought that I want us to develop tonight as we think about how Paul, along with others, went into this particular city, reminding you that it was a heathen city. They were the first preachers there. They were the first voice of the Lord in that particular area. As far as we know, there was no work that had preceded them. So they went into an area that was steeped in idolatry, had known every deceit that could be presented. No doubt the people of the city of Thessalonica had been used by the religionists that were around them. But here come the Apostle Paul along with others, and he's gentle among them, not burdensome to them, not trying to take anything of them, but to give them something that they drastically need in their lives. So I want to share just a few thoughts that I see here. First of all, as we see Paul among them, the fact is that his entrance was not without results. He said it was not in vain. Sometimes I have preached and I thought it seemed to be in vain. There's been times that I've gone into homes and I've witnessed to folks and I thought it was in vain because I didn't see any results. But Paul did see results in the city of Thessalonica. Now, it did stir up the enemy, and certainly it brought contention and persecution. But on the other hand, there were those souls that were receptive to the gospel that he brought among them. And it was not in vain, or it was not without a productive result as he came among them. Therefore, now he has a church that he can write to and can encourage, and even can expect them to be a blessing to him. And I'm sure that they were. In fact, in another place, he'll point out that they are his very rejoicing in the presence of God. And would it not be a blessing if we could say the same of souls that were in darkness until we came, and then because we came, our entrance to them was not in vain, but they were saved by the grace of God, and we could step back and say, one day, as we're in the presence of God, this will be my joy and my rejoicing. And so Paul had his entrance among them, and it was not without results. It was certainly productive in this particular city, even in spite of the persecution. That leads me to the second thought. In spite of persecution, they were bold to preach the gospel among them. I have never figured out how that a person that is saved, I'm talking about a man now that's called to the gospel ministry, how that he could justify in his mind and ever hope to justify before God and compromise the gospel, irregardless of the circumstances. I'd rather be thrown out than to compromise the gospel. I believe Paul felt the same way. I'd rather be driven out of town than to compromise the gospel. And he points out in verse 2 that in spite of persecution, they were bold to continue to preach the gospel. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. The Lord, not only was there persecution over Philippi, and we don't have to go too far back in our minds to the fact that there they were cast into the prison because they had preached the gospel, and especially to a demon-possessed girl, and they had been beaten and shamefully entreated. Then they tried to secret them out of town, and simply because Paul would not be secreted out of town, he claimed before the magistrates his Roman citizenship and made them come and basically escort them out of town, leaving a measure of respect on them and on the gospel. But they came to Thessalonica, and it was not without some opposition here. There was contention. There was opposition to the work here, but yet they continued to be bold to preach the gospel. It reminds me of a preacher that was with us for some time, and you'll know his name, of course. Brother K.C. Poole. I appreciate what he had to say to a little church up north of here ways. When he first moved into this area, a little over 3 years ago, they've been gone from our midst almost a year now, but they stayed with us 2 years, just a fraction over. That little church called on him and asked him to preach there. Well, they had been known to not necessarily appreciate the gospel nearly as much as he did. And he said to them, now I'll come and preach to you. But he said, when I come, I'm going to preach the truth, so don't expect anything else. He said, I'm too old and I'm too near facing my Lord to have to face him without telling you the truth. And so Paul came among them, and he was bold in spite of the contention to preach the gospel. And then he came among them with proper motivation in verses 3, 4, and 5. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. In other words, he did not come among them to try to deceive somebody. I would remind you that there's a lot of folks out today that are ready to deceive. They'll knock on the door and they'll tell you that they know Jehovah and that they have the answer to all of your ills in life. And they're there to deceive you. Some of them are so deceived they don't understand that. But when they begin to deny the truth about Jesus Christ, His person, and His saving grace, they're preaching a deceitful message. And Paul said, I did not come among you to deceive, nor did I come among you that I might hide sin, have uncleanness. Nor did I come to wreak any revenge or have guile. But he simply pointed out, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. The proper motivation for reaching out is to have been put in trust with something. Now, Paul speaks of his ministry and his message as a trust. and how great that trust really is. Sometimes I shudder when I think of the great responsibility that lies upon the one who is called upon to preach the gospel. It's a great trust. There are folks that will head corporations today. There will be people that will handle great estates. There will be folks that will distribute great trusts. But I want you to know that there's not any trust like God trusting us with the gospel. If there's anything that we ought to rejoice in, that God has simply allowed us the privilege of having this trust upon us and within us, and to be given the truth. Remember, our Lord said, if you know the truth will make you free. And having been set free, we've been put in trust with that message of deliverance. Tonight, we have a great trust. We have a great responsibility. You might think I'm not too important, but I dare say that you're far more important than you realize. God has put a great trust in you. In another place, Paul would say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You and I tonight have been given a trust, and the trust is that God had a son, an only begotten son. That son went to an old rugged cross and there died in the place of sinners. They took him down and laid him in a grave. Some rejoiced and thought it was over, but the third day he came forth from the grave. And I present to you tonight that we have a message that will save to the uttermost. And as one old fellow said, from the guttermost, it will save tonight. And we've been put in trust with that. Now the fellow down on Skid Row, the one that will sleep in the doorway tonight, steep in alcohol, was not put in trust. But you've been put in trust with the gospel that will save that fellow. And so tonight, Paul went in among them with the proper motivation. He went in to distribute the trust that had been given to him. He exercised that which he ought to have exercised. I remind you that our Lord taught about a man that was given certain talents. One just simply took and dug in the ground and hid his. Didn't use it at all. It brought no increase. One had 10, another had 5, and both doubled in their value. You and I have a gospel tonight that we've been trusted with. And I trust we'll be productive in the work of the Lord. So Paul came among them with the right motivation. In verse 5 he said, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. In other words, we did not come with any other motivation. We did not come to try to forge our way in and find a salary. I look back into the Old Testament and I find a few hireling prophets. Their lives are despicable. Their end is terrible. Thank God tonight we have a motivation, and it's simply that we have a trust. And that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came among them with proper motivation. And then in verse 6, he sought nothing but God's glory. He sought nothing but God's glory. He said, nor of men sought we glory. Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Now, he mentions this so that they'll understand that as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had certain rights that were allowed them. Paul explained it to the Corinthian church by pointing out that they that preach the gospel, God has ordained that they live of the gospel. Even as in the Old Testament, the priests lived of the temple, of the tabernacle, and then the temple, the offerings that were brought. And it was not wrong, and it is not wrong. But Paul said, I didn't come among you to find glory of men, nor of you, nor anyone else in the city of Thessalonica or anywhere else. He did not even necessarily want to go home and find great applause in his home church. He did not serve as he did for the applause of men. But he simply points out that he could have been burdensome. He could have had them to support him. But he said, I didn't even do that. I wanted the glory of God. And so this is how he stood as he went among the folks of Thessalonica. He sought nothing but God's glory. And then, finally, as he came among them, he not only willingly gave the gospel, but he was willing to give himself. Verse 7 and verse 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Then he went on to say, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Now what a joy to think of a man that was willing to sacrifice everything that he was and give himself literally to them. In this particular case, give himself to them, his very soul. I think it speaks of the same spirit that he expressed of his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. Brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. And then he went on to say that I could wish myself accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh. This man not only was willing to give them the gospel, but he gave himself. And it might be well if we'd do some investing of ourselves in the things of God. Sometimes it'll not be easy, and it might not be pleasant. You might be called upon sometimes to go into a home that it just almost is more than you can stomach. But there's somebody there in desperate straits, and you give yourself in that particular case along with the gospel, and you might be surprised what God will do. I encourage you tonight that Paul had a real precious spirit about him. These folks were dear to him. Now you say, he must have known a lot of folks. No, he didn't know anybody when he got there to an extent. But he knew this about them, that they were a people in heathen darkness. And the only thing that they knew was to go from one idol temple to another. And from one sacrifice like that to another. And they would always go away without any peace. And he knew that there were folks in that city that were lost without Jesus Christ. And the need of their souls was that somebody loved them enough to carry the gospel to them, to give himself, first of all, to the Lord in the ministry of the Word. So Paul went among them, not willing just to give them the gospel, but he gave himself. And I believe great sacrifice for the sake of these folks. And it's borne fruit that he could say one day, you'll be my joy and my rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Would to the Lord tonight that we have some folks along the way that would be that dear to us. These folks were dear to this man, not really knowing him. You realize that whether you personally know them or not, they're still just as lost. And they'll never be saved unless somebody loves them and gives them the gospel.